We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Orachayim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Birchas HaShachar, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Tzadik. We're coming back from a break today, the Chodesh Nisan break. Today is the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and the Shir is dedicated for a Refuah and Yeshua for all those that need it. Refuah is Yeshua is, all of us should be zeichet to be new and improved in every way. Okay, Rav Nosson Zal, we've had a long halacha. This is one of the longest chapters in Likutei Halachos, and we're almost finished. Rav Nosson Zal now is adding a few pieces to the general flow of what we spoke about. We had a major discussion about Bilam and Balak and the topic of Bechira, free choice, and now we're continuing. V'alkei nismach parshas matois leparshas pinchas. Based on what we've been learning here, we'll understand also the closeness, the proximity between Parshas Matos following Parshas Pinchas, ki Parshas Matos medaber me'inyin nedorim, because the Parsha of Matos begins speaking about the law of neder, shalidei mitzvah zois shal nedorim royim u'mevinim goydel oitzem koyach hadibur. Rav Nosson Zal tells us that through this mitzvah of the Torah, that a Jew has the ability to make a vow and thereby add a new requirement to religion, to Yiddishkeit. Hashem has given us X number of requirements, X number of obligations, and a Jew has the ability just by saying something, by saying, I hereby accept upon myself this, to abstain from this and this, or to do this and this, even though it's not in the Torah, it's not anywhere in Yiddishkeit, this person has just added a new additional requirement to Yiddishkeit, which is an incredible thing, that it's possible to do that just with speech alone. Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this in a few different places in Likutei Halachos, and here especially he's going to elaborate on this. Shetekev kishemavate besvosov, that immediately after a Jew says something, he makes a verbal commitment, tzorech lekayem kekol hayotze mipiv. He's obligated to fulfill whatever he said he was going to do. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains. Ki be'emes inyan nedorim hu plio nizgova. Because the truth is, this concept of vows is an incredible wonder of Hashem, of Yiddishkeit. Bibichinas, as the Torah says, when it introduces this topic, it says, Ish kiyafli lindor neder nozir. If a Jew will do pele, pele means something wondrous, something extraordinary, which is to make a vow to accept upon himself nezirus. That's one example of a vow. Kihein bichinas plios chochma. Because this concept of neder is discussed in Sifrei Kabbalah, in Sifrei Chassidus, and especially in our Sfarim, it's mentioned in a few places in Likutei Moran, one of them being chapter 57, Sha'alu es Rabbi Yisrael Kisma, where Rabbeinu Zal refers to neder as this concept of plios chachma. It's among the highest levels, highest spiritual levels. Because it's in this mitzvah of neder that we see the incredible power of a human being who has free choice. That a Jew has the ability with his mouth to create new mitzvahs which Hashem did not mention at all, which weren't introduced by Hashem. Kigoyim, for example, kishe'oyser olav dovor hamuter, when a person takes something that's 100% permissible, orange juice. What could be better than orange juice? Fresh squeezed orange juice. And a Jew makes a decision, he's had it. Enough of this citrus nonsense, enough of this orange stuff. He's only going to drink purple juice. He's not having any orange juice anymore. And he makes a vow that's from today, I hereby make it forbidden upon myself to drink orange juice. So he takes something that until then was 100% permissible, and he makes it forbidden. Azai taketh nesarolov hadovar hamuter. As soon as he says that, this item, which formerly was 100% permissible, becomes forbidden upon him beisur Torah. He has just included a new line into the Torah. He's added, whereby now the Torah makes this item forbidden for him. Ukemavur bedvarenu mizeh behilchas nedarim. As Rav Nosson Zal discusses this a lot in Orach Chaim Chelik Beis, in the beginning, where he speaks about Neder. I'm sorry, in Yoredeya, Chelik Aleph. No? We'll see. Vehu Peli. Rav Nosson Zal says this is wondrous. The Torah refers to it as Yafli, Pele. Haloi Boemes, Zeh HaDovor, Ein Boi Shum Yisur B'Sharoshoi. Because in reality, this item is not a forbidden item. On Hashem's list, this item is 100% okay. V'yafal pikein, and despite that, takeif kishomer bepiv sheyosar al hadover, as soon as the person verbalizes the fact that I want this item to be forbidden to me, afilu beloy hazkoras Hashem, even without mentioning Hashem's name whatsoever, nesar olav takeif, the item becomes forbidden to him immediately, Be'isur chomor min haTorah, based on a Torah obligation. From that moment on, the Torah declares this item forbidden to him. So I have the ability to write new lines into the Torah. Ach bozeh royin goydel koyach ha'odom habal b'chira. Through this, we see the incredible power that a human being has with their free choice. V'ho'ikar ha'koyach hu bepiv v'liboy. And in the human being, a human being is an organism made up of thousands, billions of parts. The most important part of the human being is his mouth and his heart. She'kishaliboy choshek lekadesh esatzmoy be'eze kedusha uprishus ukiyotze. Whereby when a person's heart feels that the person wants to elevate himself, he wants to bring himself closer to Hashem, he wants to become more spiritual, and therefore even certain things which the Torah declares permissible, I want to put a fence around it for me. I want to become more religious, I want to become more spiritual. Umoitzi chishkoi uretzayne bepiv, and the person goes ahead and verbalizes that desire, that yearning that he has to go to a higher level, azai nase mize Torah. This becomes Torah. This becomes a new line in the Torah, that the Torah, which till then only forbid him, only had 365 mitzvahs lo yisaseh, now for him there's a 366th. There's an additional new item that's off limits for him. Al pi Torah. Ki oz nesar olav hadovar beisur Torah. Because the point here is that this item now becomes forbidden to him by the Torah. The Torah makes it forbidden. The Torah has given me the power to pencil in an additional line for myself. And again, it becomes part of the Torah. And now the Torah requires that I fulfill whatever commitment I made to do or not to do, whatever I said. Ki be'emes, because the truth is, nefesh Yisroel b'sharoshoi hu chelek eloka mimal. A Jewish soul is actually a part of Hashem. V'hu bi'atzmoi b'chinas haTorah. Therefore, we are Torah. The Jewish people are part of the Torah. We are the Torah in a sense. Ki kutshe berichu v'oiraisa v'Yisrael kulo chad. Kamay shekosu b'Zohar HaKadosh. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says in this week's Parsha, Parsha Sachrei Mois, page 73, this is one of the most famous quotes from the Zohar HaKadosh, that Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. So a Jew is a living Torah. A Jew is a living Torah. And therefore, a Jew has the ability, like a Jew has the ability to grow, he has the ability to make the Torah grow with him. V'al kein Yesh loy koyach bepiv lindor let neder, and this is why a Jew has been given the ability with his mouth to make a vow, velasois liatzmoy mitzvois kenafshoy, and to create for himself new mitzvois based on his desire. Now Rav Nosson Sal is going to clarify. There's a lot to say about this, and this is one of the places where he really gives us an understanding of what this is about. There's a lot more. V'ho'ikar nedorim hu kedei lekadesh esatzmoy velifroi shesatzmoy mitayvois. One of the main reasons and one of the main concepts behind vows in Judaism is all about a person wanting to elevate himself spiritually. He wants to get to a better place in Yiddishkeit than he feels he is right now, and therefore he feels that this is one of the steps that's going to help him do that. Now Rav Nosson Sal is going to discuss this, because for starters we have a question. A person who feels that he's not perfect in Yiddishkeit, with all the billions of obligations that Hashem has given us, are you nuts in the head? You're adding to it? Are you perfect? Are you doing 100? Are you scoring 100 in all the millions and billions of things you're supposed to be doing till now that you feel comfortable adding to the list? Are you nuts? If somebody were able to take away half the list, cut the list in half, maybe I have a better chance of being a good Jew. Why in the world would you want to add to the list? Rav Nosson Sal is going to address this and explain it. But again, he says that the main concept behind neder is a person wanting to sanctify himself and to become a little bit of an ascetic. That even those things which Hashem and the Torah consider permissible, I want to avoid it. I want to stay away from it. Bebechinas, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, chapter 3, which is going to be this week's perek, this coming Shabbos, nedarim siog laprishus, vows are a fence around asceticism. In other words, it helps a person who wants to become more spiritual, more holy. She'elu hanedorim he mitzvah lindor bohem. These kinds of vows, it's a mitzvah for a person to make this type of vow, where he's saying the vow to try to become closer to Hashem, more religious, even though we'll see that it's not a simple mitzvah. The Gemara warns that for most people, for 99% of Jews, stay away, keep back 2,000 feet from these kind of vows, because very often you'll get into bigger trouble. And there's a story with Rav Nosson Sal that he heard from Rabbi Nachman, Rabbeinu Zal, that in his youth, Rabbeinu Zal said one of the ways that he fought with his Yetzer Hara was making vows. If he felt the Yetzer Hara was getting too pushy, I'll fix him. Now we're going to draw the line over there. Now we're going to draw the line further. I'm going to become more. He's trying to push me down. I'll show him. We're going to double the stakes, you know. So Rabbeinu Zal said that he made vows often. And then when this topic came up, when Rav Nosson Sal heard this, he mentioned respectfully, what about the fact that the Gemara says, don't. That for most people, stay away, stay away. Rabbeinu Zal smiled and he said, that's for Shlomo Zalnikas like you. That's for little guys, babies like you. This is what he said to Rav Nosson Sal, the author of the Likutei Halachos, who we know was obviously on a very, very high level, but Rabbeinu Zal was making a point that even when it comes to high levels, there's different levels, you know, and it's a delicate item. But Rav Nosson Sal quotes one of the statements in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that these kinds of vows are a mitzvah. V'chein amru, as the Gemara says in the Dorim Davches, shorile le'inish le'mindar, a Jew is allowed to make a vow, le'ziruze nafshe, to push himself a little, to give himself, to motivate himself more, to inspire himself to be a little stronger. V'ikar haneder, kishemoitzioi bepiv. And the real actualization of a neder is when you say it, when you verbalize it. And this is one of the things in Yiddishkeit that teaches us the incredible importance and power of a Jew's mouth. what a Jew has the ability to do with his mouth. Shayde hadibur hu yochoy lehizgaber beyoyser lifroish esatzmoy afilu min aheter. That by saying, simply by saying, I'm not going to drink orange juice, or I'm not going to eat foods that have sugar in them, that can give the person additional strength, a whole new power that he didn't have before. Before he said this, if you would put a thermometer on him or a barometer and you could measure how strong he is in addressing his desires for sugar and cake and ice cream and everything, you would see he scored a 3. He got a 3. He's got 3 out of 1,000 units of strength to withstand the temptation of ice cream and cake and chocolate, all of these things. Now, as soon as he makes this vow, saying that for the next 30 days, I'm going to abstain from sugar, anything that has sugar in it, if you could put a meter on him, you would see he suddenly went from 3 to 30 or to 60. That by saying it, that gives a whole new strength to the person to be able to rise to a new level spiritually. Kemoy Shamru, as the Gemara says, Nedorim Siog Laprishus, that Nedorim vows assist a person in Precious, in asceticism. Ukemoy Sheroyim Bechush, and Rav Nosson Zal says, as we see in real life, Mikol Mi Sheroitze Lahargil Asatzmoy Be'ezek Kedushu Precious, by any person who wants to take on upon himself a new level of holiness, spirituality, in whatever field it is, there are many people who, when they decide they want to do that, they make a vow to strengthen it. Kigoin, for example, to fast one day a week. I'm going to fast on Mondays or on Thursdays. Or I'm not going to eat anything that comes from a living item, like meat, poultry, fish. I'm not going to eat that for a certain period of time. Or a person says, I feel I need a push. I'm not going to give 10% for the next 30 days. I'm going to try giving 15%. The Torah obligates 10%. I'm going to add to it. Or other examples. Now Rav Nosson Zal asks the question, V'lechoyra hadovar tamua, there seems to be something very difficult to understand about this. Memonav shoch, either way, no matter what you want to say, im yesh b'koychoy lizgaber al yitzroi, if the person has it in him to overcome his yetzer, to defeat the yetzer, yuchal lizgaber b'loy neder shvuah, then what does he need the neder or shvuah? If you're telling me he has it in him, he has the strength to defeat the Yetzer, then why does he have to say this? Why does he have to take on this additional thing? Ve'im misyore shelo yizgaber yitzroyolov, and if he's afraid that he knows he's going to be going to a couple of weddings and this is there's going to be Viennese table, and he's afraid he's going to eat the whole table and everything, and he wants to protect himself, and that's why he's making this vow that for the next week, no cake, period. He wants to make sure he doesn't OD on it. Ma yoel haneder, what's the neder going to help him? If he's weak, if he knows every time he comes in front of cake, he just loses it, then what's the vow going to help? Ach boze royin goidel koyach haneder bishoroshoi. However, from this, we get to understand the incredible significance of a neder, where it comes from, where it originates from in the Torah, in Yiddishkeit. That it comes from a very, very high spiritual place. The Zohar Kodesh, the Arizal says that the word neder is nun dor, 50th generation, which corresponds to Yovel, which is Bina, called the Shar HaChamishim, the 50th level. Right now, we're in the middle of Sfira Soima, right? We started at the bottom, and we're climbing to the top. The top of the top of the top is Shavuos, which is called Shar HaChamishim, the 50th level. Neder is Shar HaChamishim. It's Nun Dor. That's why it's called Pele, Ki Yafli Lindor. It refers to one of the highest spiritual connections that a person could make. V'ho Iker Kishemoitzioi Bepiv. And again, the whole power of a neder is the fact that you say it, you verbalize it. She'oz al yidei ha-neder oile lebechinas plios chachma. When a person does that, when a person actually says a vow, he lifts off spiritually. He reaches up to a very high level called plios chachma, sheshom shoresh habechira, which is the source from which free choice originates from on a spiritual level. Umishom mekabel koyach al yidei shemoytzen eder bepiv, and it's from there that he draws new strength, new power by him saying that neder, sheyuchal lizgaber al mashetzorach lizgaber, to give him the additional strength that he needs to be able to overcome what he needs to overcome, to be able to battle this temptation. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds, ubevadai gam achar kach kishos neder adayin yeshloi lahabechir ola toise chas v'shom chas v'shom. It's not that as soon as you make a vow, it's all over. The Eitz Sahara just lies down and plays dead, and you won, and it's not the way it works. Even after the person makes a neder, there still is bechira. There still is some free choice. Ki habechira yesh lo koyach godol moed, because bechira is one of the strongest things in existence. It's the whole foundation as to why Hashem created man and everything. V'alkein hizhira haTorah moed sheyishmor lekayem es nidroi, and this is why the Torah warns us in several different places that if you make a neder, you better be very careful to fulfill what you said. And whatever you let out of your mouth, you better make sure you fulfill. Aval, however, ho'ikerhu, the main concept here is, shalidei haneder yeshloi koyach harbe yoiser lehizgaber al yitzroim. The neder turns up the volume. It turns up the power. It doubles or multiplies your ability to stand firm, to stand your ground, and not cross that line. Whatever line you set for yourself, that I'm not going to do that thing. As we find in one of the most important incidents in Jewish history, from whom Moshiach would come forth, when Boaz married Rus. Remember, Rus, the convert who comes from Moav, this is Shavuos. We're headed towards Shavuos now. This is what it's going to be all about. She'omar, where when Rus came to him during the night, before he married her, Boaz said, Chai Hashem, I swear, he said, Eloshen Shvua, Shichfi Adaboyker, stay here till morning, lie over here till morning. V'doshu Rabbi Senuzal, and the Medrash says, in Medrash Rus, chapter 5, why did he say Chai Hashem? Who is he swearing for? The Medrash says, Le Yitzroi Nishba. He was swearing for his Yetzirah. He was putting up a steel wall against his Yetzirah. That if the Yetzirah would want to tempt him in any way to touch Rus during that night before he was married to her, Chai Hashem, I swore. Now do something. Now let's see the Yetzirah tempt me. I swore. It's finished. Game over. Nimtza. We see from this, shebeloi hashvua, that had he not sworn, hoyosvoro shahayetzahori isgabralov, if there was a potential, there was a serious, even though we're talking about Boaz, an incredible tzaddik, the Gemara, the Sforim say he's called Boaz, in him is strength. We know ois, strength in Yiddishkeit, ezeo gibor ha-klevish es Yitzroi. Strong in Yiddishkeit means strong in conquering your Yetzirah, and especially in this area. So if his name was Boaz, it means he was one of the top tzaddikim in this area. And yet, he needed extra protection. He needed to say, Chai Hashem, now I'm ready. As the Gemara says over there in the Dorim Daf Ches regarding this, Valyidei Hashvua, and through the fact that he swore, Omad Benisoyon, that gave him the additional strength that he needed to withstand the test, the Kovash Es Yitzroi, and control his Yetzer. V'chein Motzinu Bekama Ksherim V'Tzadikim, and we find the same thing to be true by many other great tzaddikim and religious people, Ukamay sheshamati mipiv hakodesh. Rab Nosson Zal says, as I actually heard from Rabbeinu Zal, shehaya rogil benedorim me'oid, that Rabbeinu Zal said in his youth, he used to make vows frequently, very often, bishvil kedusha uprishus, in order to get stronger in holiness and in abstaining from desires, materialistic desires. As we find mentioned in Shvuchei Horan, chapter 15, paragraph 15. Paragraph Tzadik Aleph, V'alkein maschilen b'yoyim ha-kippurim kol nidrei. Now Rav Nosson Zal answers an incredible question. The holiest day of the entire year in Yiddishkeit, Yom Kippur. What are we doing on Yom Kippur? Praying and praying and more praying. Out of all the different things to start to kick off Yom Kippur with, what do we start with? Kol Nidre, the famous tefillah Kol Nidre. What is that all about? What does that have to do with forgiveness, tshuva, v'alkein, maschilin, b'yoyim ha-kippurim, Kol Nidre v'chulu? Kinedorim gevoyim ma'oid kanal. Because as we said, vows are on an incredible high spiritual level. Vehein bebchinas shoroshe ha-Torah. They correspond to the source from which the Torah comes from. Kaviyochel, it's above the Torah in a sense. Bebchinas tshuva shehula ma'ala mi'atorah. Just like the tshuva process, which we're told goes above the Torah. It overrides the Torah. The Torah has all kinds of requirements and penalties and punishments. And when a person does tshuva, he goes up over the Torah, and Kaviyochel is able to draw a hamtoka, a sweetening from there. So to neder, just like tshuva, there are 50 gates of tshuva, right? So to neder is this nundor, the 50th generation. It's reaching up to that same place, the source where the Torah draws its light from, where the Torah draws its holiness from. It's brought that in Hashem's name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the Vav represents the Torah. We know the Gemara says in Baba Basra that the Luchos, the tablets, were 6x6. That's what the Gemara says. That's one of the references, one of the associations to show that the Torah is represented by the Vav of Hashem's name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. The Vav is Tiferes, which is Talmud Torah. There are many, many explanations for this in Sifrei Kabbalah. What we're talking about here is the letter in front of it, the He in front of it, which is Bina, which is the 50th level, which is tshuva, which is neder, which is above. That's where the Torah draws its light from, kaviyochel. Umishom nimshach kol slichos avoinos. And that's where the whole ability to wipe the slate clean, to forgive sins, that's where it comes from. It comes from bina, from above the Torah. V'ho ikar, and who are the main ones who are in a position to make this happen? Aliyedei tzadikei hoemes, the true tzadikim, b'chinas Moshe, who are on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, shemimenu mekablim koyach kol roshei hamatois. It's from him, from Moshe Rabbeinu, that all the other leaders, the leaders of the tribes, who are called roshei hamatois, they receive their koyach from Moshe Rabbeinu. Shehein b'chinas yochid mumche. These tzaddikim, a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, is what the Gemara refers to as yochid mumche, a single rabbi, but who's a real, real giant, sheyochoy lahatir haneder, who's on such a level that he single-handedly has the ability to nullify a vow. We know that today, usually, we use a bezin of three. We always stick to three people. But the Gemara, when it discusses this, the Gemara says that's because we don't have people on that level. But if you had somebody who was yochid mumche, like a real, real super giant, he doesn't need another. He can do it alone. He has the ability to be mater neder on his own. Ki hatoras nedorim hu chidish upele yoiser. Because this concept of undoing a vow is even a bigger chiddush than a vow. Person lahavdil, in the world we know there's something called crazy glue. They have this kind of glue that if you want to put something together and you want to make sure it's going to really, really hold, you put a little bit of this stuff on it and you attach it, and then you know, now it ain't going to separate. You could stand on your head. The thing will break. If it's steel, the steel will break before that glue will separate. That's how powerful it is. But to say that we have something that can make a bond, which is a neder, that makes an incredible bond with Hashem, and we also have the antidote to it. We have hatoras nedarim. We have the ability to untie it also. Shafilu kishe'olo lemekoyim haneder. So that even if a Jew was able to go up to that incredible high place where neder is, v'osar alatzmoy ezedovor, and the Jew made something forbidden to himself, she'azai nesar olav be'isur Torah, where we learned before that this item now becomes off limits to him, based on the Torah, it becomes a Torah requirement to stay away from that thing. Afal pikein, despite that, adayin yeshloi koyach she'yischaret al nedroi. The person still retains the ability to regret his vow, to say, I made a mistake, I didn't realize, I didn't know that it entailed this and this, I didn't know this would happen. Ve'yovoi lifnei hechocham, and to come before a chocham, a super high level chocham, ve'yater loyes nidroi. And the chocham has the ability to untie the vow, to undo the obligation. Ki kol nafshois Yisrael klulim b'moshe. Because all of the Jewish souls are included in Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik, is called the Shoresh Neshamos Yisrael. He's the source of all the Jewish souls. The Gemara makes a statement, which woman gave birth to 600,000 in one shot? That's Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is compared to all 600,000. He's like a composite of all 600,000. Shehu Bechinas Tzadik, the Gemara mentions this in a few places, that Moshe Rabbeinu is considered like a rabbim, like a multitude of people. Shehu Bechinas Tzadik Hadoyer, he represents the Tzadik of the generation. Umimenu mekablim koyach kol hamumchim sheyecholim lahatir, and it's from him, from Moshe Rabbeinu, that all the Jewish leaders, all the great rabbis, receive the ability to undo a vow, beyochid, either as an individual, there are some rabbis that are on a high enough level to do it alone, single-handedly, oy shloisha hedyoitois, or if you have three ordinary Jews, they can serve as a consortium, you know, to be able to do it. Ki kol hatoras nedorim hu bekoyach Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the whole power, the whole concept of undoing vows is with the power of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehu Horishon, Shenosan lanu es haTorah. He is the original tzaddik who gave us the Torah, the Elov Gilo Hashem Yisporach Soid Nedorim Vatorosam. And it's to him that Hashem revealed this secret of vows and the ability to undo vows, al yidei hacharoto lifnei hechacham, by the person who made the vow coming before a chacham and expressing regret. I didn't realize, I didn't know at the time that I made this vow that such and such was the case. Had I known, I never would have said the vow. And the true chacham, the great, great tzaddikim, are the ones who have the ability to find a way to undo a vow. It's interesting. During the vacation period, during Nisan, I had the privilege of speaking in front of one of the groups of Breslov boys, and I told them one of the stories, that one of the most poignant stories in Shas, about Rabbi Akiva. We're in the Emea Sphira now. We're mourning the passing away of Rabbi Akiva's students. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law was one of the most choshev people in Klal Yisrael. Number one, he lived in Yerushalayim, so that made him very special. And number two, he was one of the wealthiest Jews at that time. The Gemara says him and two of his partners were able to support the entire city of Yerushalayim for 21 years. They had enough financing and enough materials and everything to handle the entire city for that kind of a period of time. And the Gemara says when he became aware that his daughter, Rachel, decided to marry a shepherd, Rabbi Akiva, he disowned her. He made a vow that she has nothing, she's cut off totally while he's living and after he passes away. Zero, 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 period. She accepted this. She had such respect for Hashem and such respect for the truth, for what's right, that no money, no money. There's things that are bigger than money in this world. She saw in Rabbi Akiva potential that if this person will go learn Torah with the midos that he has and with everything that he has, who knows what he's going to achieve? And she was right. He left for 12 years and came back, and then he left for another 12 years and came back with 24,000 students, one of the leading rabbis in Klal Yisrael. And the whole city came out to greet him. And the Gemara says one of the people who came out to greet him was his father-in-law, who had no idea that this guy was Mishpacha, that Rabbi Akiva was his son-in-law. Only this father-in-law, after 24 years, was feeling regret about his daughter, that he had disowned his daughter and he didn't see, had nothing to do with her for 24 years. So he started feeling bad about it, and he figured this very big rabbi is coming. If there's anybody that can help, who do you turn to? You turn to Moshe Rabbeinu. You turn to the Tzaddik Hador. So he went there also, and he came before Rabbi Akiva, and he said, I have one question to ask you. The question is that I disowned my daughter, 24 years ago, because she did this ridiculous thing. Instead of her marrying, who knows who I could have had as a son-in-law? Who knows? She could have married the biggest rabbi, the biggest this, and she chose zero, minus zero, so I disowned her, but now I'm starting to feel regrets. Rabbi Akiva looks at him, and he smiles, and Rabbi Akiva says, let me ask you a question. This zero, this minus zero, if you would have known that he would know Torah, if you knew that he knows Torah, that he's learned, would you have done this? Kalba Savua looked and laughed. If I would have known that he knows one parsha, one line in the Torah, I never would have said it. He said, I'm your son-in-law. And Kalba Savua looked at him. The Gemara says he bent down, he went down to the floor, and he kissed his feet. Kalba Savua standing in front of thousands of Jews. This is one of the richest people in Klal Yisrael. He had the sincerity, the honesty, to show such regret that he made a mistake. He didn't see. He didn't see. His daughter saw, and he didn't see. He didn't know. And he kissed his feet in front of everybody, and he said, right over there, I hereby give half of everything I have to you and to my daughter. Half of everything I own is yours, period. That was one of several ways that the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva became one of the wealthiest people in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara mentions six different ways that he got tremendous wealth. This was part of it. See, here again, look what neder is, look what the power of neder is, and look how the Chacham has the ability. Rabbi Akiva knew exactly what to ask him. Had you known, would you have said it? Def, I never would have said it. Then I, with the authority that's invested in me, a yochid mumcha, has the ability to say, muterloch, muterloch, muterloch. The vow never happened. It's like it never happened. So now Rabbi Nosson Zal says, V'alkein Isa b'medrash, and this is why the Medrash Rabba says in Vayikra chapter 37, Al Pasuk Vayar b'sivloisam, regarding the Pasuk which says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the suffering that the Jewish people were going through in Egypt, Shem Moshe Rabbeinu nosan leiv al sivlois b'nei Yisrael bagolus. Moshe Rabbeinu looked very carefully and he felt what the Jewish people were going through in Agolus. Even though he was living in Paro's house, he was living in luxury in a sense, he looked carefully to see what Klal Yisrael are going through. And he felt it. And when Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't staying out, He was feeling what the Jewish people were suffering. That's when Hashem said to him, "Shaydezeh yizkeh leparshas nedorim," that as a result of your sharing in the pain and suffering of the Jewish people, I'm going to give you this new revelation of the concept of neder in the Torah, this whole new mitzvah in the Torah. V'hadovor plia v'tomua moed. Rav Nosson Zal says again, what in the world does one have to do with the other? What's the connection between the two? Ma shaychis yesh daiko leparshas nedorim le'inyan meriras hagolus. What in the world does the mitzvah of neder have to do with the bitter suffering that the Jewish people are going through in Golus? Ach Moshe, Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain now. Ach Moshe ro'o meriras hagolus. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the bitterness of the exile, v'nosan leiv lozeh, and he made sure that he felt it in his heart in a big way. V'ro'o she'ikra golus al yedei avoinos Yisrael. And he saw the reason behind this. Why are the Jewish people in golus? It's because of sins. V'ikra tikun al yedei tshuva. And the main way that we're going to get out of this mess is through tshuva, through repentance. V'ikar ho'ikuv shel ha'tshuva hu ha'machloikis shel ha'cholkim olav. And the main thing that's blocking Klal Yisrael from doing a real tshuva is the opposition that Moshe Rabbeinu has. Is those people who are opposing Moshe Rabbeinu, shemizgabrim kenegdoi moed, and are trying to squash him, are trying to eliminate Moshe Rabbeinu, or to eliminate his ability to be effective. K'moshe Kosov, as the Torah says there, remember, when he saw two Jews fighting, he saw Dosan and Aviram slugging it out, and he said, Rosha, lomo sakariyecha, why are you fighting? Were you crazy? Jews fighting? And they said to him, Halohargeni Omer, are you saying that to kill us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Oche noita dovar, now I know. Now I know why our people are suffering more than any other people in the world. V'dorsh Rabbi Seinazal, the Medrash says, Shenoidaloi soid hagolus. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu understood the secret behind why Klal Yisrael is going through so much exile. Sho bishvil hacholken vadel toiren. It's because of the fighting, the infighting in Klal Yisrael, and it's because of the daltoiren, those people who go to the Goyim and snitch on Jews. Those people who go to non-Jews and get the Jews in trouble by the non-Jews, chas v'shom. Or by non-religious Jews. All of that kind of stuff. That's dalturia. Loshon hara, rechi, all of that kind of stuff. Hainu shehevin, shehoyo loy koyach lehoshev Yisrael b'tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he definitely does have the ability to bring all of Klal Yisrael to tshuva. Because the majority of the people would be willing to listen to him, would accept Moshe Rabbeinu's authority. But the main obstacle, the main problem is the doson vavirams in every generation, she'oimdim kenegdoi b'chol pam, who rise up in every generation to try to block the true tzaddikim from finishing the job, from being able to bring Klal Yisrael to a true tshuva. K'moshom Rabbi Seinu Zal, as the Medrash says over there, kol mokoim shenemar nitzim nitzovim, wherever you find in the Torah, it uses these verbs, which mean machloket, einom el doson vaviram. You should know it's referring to these guys, these kind of people in Klal Yisrael, who are the main terrorists, who are the main problem blocking the Jewish people from getting out of Golus. It's our people who work against the true tzaddikim, who try to take away the power from the true tzaddikim to be effective in reaching Klal Yisrael and getting Klal Yisrael to do what we need to do. V'chein hu b'chol doyer v'doyer. And this repeats itself, this continues in each and every generation. That in every generation there are tzaddikim, there's a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He didn't have the power to do it. What happened? There was a Jew who went ahead and told over to the Romans what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal said, that he spoke against the Roman government, and because of that, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal had to run for his life, had to hide out, had to be separated from all the other rabbis for 13 years. Try to imagine if he would have been there those 13 years, what would have happened? Having him with them to resolve questions. The Zohar HaKadosh says there were times that they got stuck. They were learning and they got stuck. They didn't have an answer. And they said, if only Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai were here, he would answer our questions. And there were some times that they sent a pigeon with a message. There are beautiful stories how sometimes they were able to get to him. But again, it's not the same as if he was sitting there with them those 13 years. On one hand, for him, it was an incredible aliyah, because the Gemara says that when he came back after the 13 years and his body was covered with boils, because they would lie covered in sand, they only wore clothing when they were davening. But the other time when they were learning, they would take off the clothes to make sure the clothes would last, and they would cover themselves in sand. So the sand went into the skin, and his whole skin was perforated. Like, so when his father-in-law, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoris, saw him, he burst into tears, and he said, ay, 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 that I have to see my son-in-law in this condition, you know, in pieces. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, how lucky I am that you see me. Were it not for this, I wouldn't be where I am now. He knew that the suffering that he took on in all of this elevated him to incredible, incredible heights. But again, all kinds of different side things that came out of this. But Alkein, Kisher, we see this thing repeating itself constantly in history. Rahman Slan, I just read recently again the story of the Ger Tzedek. You know, there was a famous convert during the time of the Vilna Goyen who made an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. He came from one of the wealthiest families of the non-Jews, you know, and he decided, you know, he searched and he saw things wrong in their religion, and he converted, and then and he was growing, he was running in Yiddishkeit, running, learning deeper, higher and higher levels, and then he had some kind of an altercation with a person, with a Jew, and this Jew, when it somehow found out, knew that he was a convert, and went ahead and snitched to the Goyim that there's a convert. And they had the FBI, they had the Mossad, they had everybody. They were searching the world to find him, and they never would have found him unless a Jew went ahead and said, you know, gave it away. He said that there's some new convert here, and then the church found out about v'chula v'chula, and they burned him at the stake. And you ask yourself, how could this be? How could it be? Al Kain, therefore, kisheroa Hashem yisborach shem Moshe noisein lev loze letzayar b'tzarosom. When Hashem saw Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness, how sensitive he is, he could have walked away. Two Jews are fighting, let him kill him. What do I care? He's hitting it, let him hit him. He didn't do that. He went over to say, what are you doing? It bothered him. He saw Jews in conflict. It bothered him. Veroye heitev b'sivloisam. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw clearly how terribly the Jews are suffering, ve'eich shekoshe ma'oid lesaken ulegolam, and how difficult it is to fix the problem and to redeem them, al kein gilaloy Hashem yisborach soid parshas nedorim. As a result of that, Hashem revealed him the secret of neder, shebose heraloy hakoyach shel atzadikim v'akshem shebisrael shebechol dor v'dor. Through this, Hashem was showing Moshe Rabbeinu how powerful the true tzaddikim really are in every generation. Shehem bechinas mekanei kinas Hashem tzvokos. They are the ones who really take up the honor of Hashem. They're the ones who are prepared to be vigilantes, like Pinchas, who rose up and killed Zimri and Cosby. Bechinas Pinchas, like the example of Pinchas that we spoke about in the previous shir. And now Rav Nosson Sal is going to clarify this. Kinedorim heim bebechinas mekanei kinas Hashem tzvokos shu bechinas tzedaka. If you recall, if you look back in the previous shir that we had, we spoke about tzedaka and about tzedaka being one of the main things of rotzoin that takes a person up to the place of rotzoin, because tzedaka is nedivus lev. It's a generosity from the. It's an act of goodwill, and Rabbi Nizal showed us there that another type of tzedaka is when a person does something extraordinary for Hashem, like when a person shows a zealousness, like when Pinchas jumped to kill Zimri, even though he asked Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the halacha? Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't know. Pinchas said, I'm not waiting. Bang! And he saw that there was a plague going. He saw Jews were starting to die. Hashem was going to wipe out Klal Yisrael. Pinchas jumped, and he knew if he kills these two, this will calm the anger of Hashem, the incredible anger of Hashem at that time. So Rav Nosson Zal brought sources from Likut Imran earlier to show us that when a person is mekane kines Hashem tzvokos, that's also considered an incredible high level of tzedakah. That connects to that high level of rotzon that has the ability to dissolve the great anger of Hashem, super anger of Hashem. In fact, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 106, that Rav Nosson Zal quoted earlier in paragraph 58, where it says, Vayamoid Pinchas Vayapalel. Pinchas stood up, and he did a major act of din, plili, plilim, and this was considered an incredible tzedakah. It was like he donated $10 million. Just like that's something that's mamtik v'charoi naf, this act of kinas Hashem tzvokos is also an incredible hamtoka sadinim. Back to where we're up to. Because neder is another example of this. Page 292, the left-hand column. Nedarim is also a form where a person jumps, like Boya said, Chai Hashem, the Yetzirah thinks he's playing with me, Al Shom, I swear. That's also this kanos in a sense. Dahainu kemoi hanoider eze neder b'shvil precious, like a person who makes a vow in order to abstain, in order to strengthen himself, shehu machmas sheroye sheyitzroy roitzel is gabrolov. It's because he sees that his yetzer is trying to defeat him. Alkein hu koifetz v'nishba. Therefore, he jumps and he says, "I'll show him." He thinks he's going to take me down. Watch this. Bang! I'm going to make a neder. I'm going to be 10 times more religious. And he even declares what's permissible. He declares that forbidden. The Yetzer thinks he's going to get me to do an Avera. Watch this. I'm not even going to do what's permissible. And I'm going to move the line further out. Bishvil precious, in order to take upon himself this extra religiousness. And this gives him that extra fuel that he needs, that extra energy to overcome the temptation. So too, when a Jew jumps sometimes to show a zealousness in doing something, you need a Nachshon, like when it came to jumping into the water, and Nachshon jumped first, going into the water up to his nose, you know, that person who shows that zealousness sometimes, when there's an opportunity to do something for Hashem's honor, and he jumps to be the first, like Kamei Pinchas, like in the story of Pinchas, Shero Goidel HaKilkulos, he saw the incredible destruction, the damage that Zimri and Cosby had done in front of all of Klal Yisrael. They're making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu. Zimri said, "Can I marry her? If you're going to tell me I can't marry her, how come you married a Midianite?" He was making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu in front of all the Jews, and he was trying to kosher his horrific, sinful act. And there was nobody who was strong enough to stand up, because Zimri was backed by 24,000 people from his tribe. And they were all there ready. Anybody starts with him, we'll take him on. So Zimri knew he had power behind him, 24,000 Jews. Who's going to go attack him? As it says, the other Jewish leaders were crying at the entrance to Oel Moed because they saw the situation. They saw that this is going to be a civil war. If anybody does anything, if anybody makes a move, Shevet Shimon was ready to step in there and to defend their leader. And then Pinchas decided, I'm not asking anybody. He took it upon himself, and he went ahead and did something that he wasn't commanded to. It's not a mitzvah in the Torah. It doesn't say in the Torah, you know, that you must do this. And he saved the entire Jewish nation at that time. As the pasuk says over there in Tehillim, chapter 106, that Hashem considered this an incredible act of tzedakah on the part of Pinchas. Kizehu gam kein bechinas tzedakah. Because when a Jew shows this kanos, this super zealousness for Hashem, this is also considered like a major, major contribution. Just like a major contribution has the power to be mamtig din, when a person gives a tremendous sum to tzedakah, so too what he did had the same power to wipe out the din. Shehu ikarhu, why is tzedakah so powerful? Rabbi Nosson Zal explains. Shehu ikarhu, machma shehamomoin kvar beyad hayoshir, beyad heosher. What makes the tzedakah so powerful? The money is already in the wealthy person's possessions. He's got it in the bank. It's mine. And I can use it for whatever one I want. I can make a bigger house. I can buy a yacht. I can do anything I want with this. The hu mizgaber, and this person rises to the occasion. The noisei mikiso itztaka, and the person decides to part with that, to give it away to tztaka. Umishaber achzorius shebeliboy, and he breaks that negativity in his heart, that feeling in his heart that's saying, hey, what are you doing? What are you giving it away for? It was so, how difficult, how much did you have to work for this? How hard was it to get to this? What are you, nuts? Who knows, you might need this in 10 years. Just because you have enough for the next 10 years, maybe you don't know what's going to be in 20 years. You might need, don't give it away. And the person breaks that achzorius. Boze oise nachas ruach godla Hashem isborach. Through this, he gives Hashem an incredible satisfaction. V'nechshav ki'ilu hilvel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's credited as if he gave Hashem a loan. Hashem becomes indebted to him. K'ma shekosva, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, chapter 19, Malve Hashem choinein dal. A person who is choinein, who shows generosity to the poor, is Malve Hashem. He's lending Hashem. Hashem becomes indebted to him. Ubechol ze royin goydel koyach habechira. What's the underlying point in all of this? The underlying point is that issue of free choice. This is a very, very important point. This issue of tzedakah, people that study this, fundraising and collecting and everything, and giving, they know that there's a billion different ways to do this. There are a billion different ways that people extract money from other people. There's all kinds of ways of embarrassing a person, sometimes in public. They do it in front of everybody. So what are you giving? And the person, because he's in front of everybody, that forces him sometimes, or all kinds of other different ways, tricks that fundraisers to press the person to give, to be forced to give, or to be forced to give more than they would have wanted to, etc., etc. There's all kinds of things in that. But the Torah, when the Torah defines the mitzvah of tzedakah, it says, kol nediv lev yevi'eha es trumas Hashem. The real effectiveness of tzedakah is when the person is giving it from his own bechira, he's not being forced. He's choosing to do it. This is why it's brought, for example, when a person's in shul, let's say, and there's a gabbai tzedakah going around, that gabbai, that's a serious job sometimes. They take all kinds of hits in doing that, all kinds of insults and embarrass, all kinds of stuff. That gabbai gets a cut of every, in heaven, he gets a cut of every donation that's given, because the other guy wouldn't have given it him if I didn't ask him, if I didn't call him 300 times and bother him and nag him and make him crazy and call his wife and call. Every time that happens, it detracts a little bit from the person giving. When a person gives, the trick is to give on your own, not to have to be pushed or squeezed or forced or anything like that. Again, to get the full effectiveness of the mitzvah, the full value. It's amazing. This should be a schus. One of our dear friends, his name is Moshe Ben Mazal, who's in prison in Los Angeles in California now for a long period of time. Hopefully the diyun is coming up now to see if he can be freed. This was an example of a person who would come to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. He would buy an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah, and you knew 2 or 3 days later, you would hear banging on the door of the office. He'd be banging like this, and you'd think there's a fire. Who knows, there's a fire. Come to the door. What are you banging like that? He says, what do you mean? Yom Kippur's Kai. I ain't going into Yom Kippur any debt. I want to pay for the Aliyah right now. Where's the, get your book out. Come on, let's take care of this. An urgency that this person didn't have to be called, didn't have to be asked, came running, you know. And again, we're talking about a number, 15,000. One time he had yen, Japanese yen. He brought Japanese yen, whatever it is. Now, I ain't going into Yom Kippur with a debt. That was his, you know, certain strength. Shem should help that the schus should help him and all of Klal Yisrael. Ukemuva b'divrei, so Rav Nosson Zal says now, u'b'chol zeh royim goydla b'chkoyach b'chira. Through all of this, we see the incredible importance of b'chira. Listen to this. Kialoi b'vadai b'yad Hashem yisborach l'farnei so'aniyim v'liten le'em ashirus. Because Hashem definitely has the power and the money to give the poor people. Hashem don't need you. He don't need me. If Hashem wants this guy to have money, Hashem definitely has the ability to give it to him himself. Ukemuva b'divrei Rabbi Senuzal kushyezois me'acholkim. As the Gemara in Baba Basra, page 10, asks this question. Me'acholkim, from those people who don't like to give charity, Shehikshu, they ask this question. This question is still being asked today. Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu oyev aniyim, if you're telling me that Hashem loves the poor people so much, lama ein mefarisim, why ain't he giving them money? Why are you coming to me? You're telling me that Hashem loves the poor people, and if you'll give the poor people, Hashem will love you and he'll love me. Let him love me a little less and let him take care of them and let me keep my millions for myself. Acho ikar. The point here is that when a human being who has free choice and he can choose not to give anything, or he can choose to give 100 or 1,000 or whatever number, and that person from his own free choice chooses, shela'acha shebo hamois lekisoi, after the money's already in his pocket, and the Yetzer Hara is screaming, mine, it's mine, my, it's not yours, Hashem. It's not yours and it's not his, this is my money. V'humamin, and despite that, the fact that my bank account has my name on it, there's no joint, Hashem is not a joint partner, despite that, v'humamin sha'koil meritzoin Hashem yisborach, the person shows that they believe that this is all rotzoin Hashem, u'mekayim ritzoin Hashem yisborach, and he fulfills Hashem's rotzoin, u'meshaber achzor yusoi, and he breaks that thing inside of him that's holding him back, that doesn't allow him to give, that doesn't want him to give, that doesn't want him to share, v'noisein tzedoko lora'evim, and he gives charity to people who are in need, people who are suffering, people who are starving, bibechirosoi, out of choice, out of free choice, ze yokor ma'oi deitzel Hashem yisborach. That's very, very precious to Hashem. As the Gemara says in Eruvin, page 86, al posuk chesed ve'emes manyin seruhu. The Gemara says there, ki daika al yidei zeh mamshich hasodim, that a person who does this, he opens a flow of chesed for Klal Yisrael. He's the one who causes an incredible reaction on the part of Hashem. When a Jew shows chesed, a Jew from his own bechira goes out of his way to help others, then it forces Hashem to make a big jump. V'alkein nismach parshas nedorim leparshas Pinchas. And this is the connection, this is what we started this year with. This is why the parsha of Neder, parshas Matos, which begins with the topic of nedorim, is right next to parshas Pinchas, which speaks about his zealous act. Ki nedorim hem b'chinas tzedaka, because neder, one of the most popular types of vows, is usually about tzedaka, charity. B'chinas, as the pasuk says, moitza sfosecho tishmor, watch what comes out of your mouth, listen to what comes out of your mouth, v'osiso kashen odarta, and make sure you do what you promised, make sure you give what you promised to give, ad, until the pasuk continues over there, and it says the word beficha, which the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, zu tztaka, that the word beficha refers to tztaka, v'hu b'chinas kinas Hashem tzvokos. This is similar to that zealous act that Pinchas did, which was able to be mamtik v'din, which was able to save Klal Yisrael at that time, so too when a Jew makes the right kind of neder and he fulfills it, then that also has this ability to be mamtik v'din. This is why these two parshas, Pinchas and Matos, are right near each other. Ki hakoil b'chino achas. Because it's all talking about the same concept. Note, the halacha says that a gabbai in shul, when they have aliyas in shul, when he makes a mishaberach for a person, he says mishaberach bavur sheyitain. If he's religious, he will make sure to add those two words, bavur sheyitain bali neder. Even if the person says, I'll give 100, I'll give 25,000, and the person has it, and always healthy to add those words bali neder. So that again, the person still has the obligation, but not to cross that dangerous line that we saw of the issue of neder. Baruch Hashem.